freaking good. It's so overwhelming. So he's worthy of worship this morning, church. He's worthy of our trust. This morning, we're going to be talking about giving. We're going to be giving testimonies about giving. Gosh, he's so trustworthy. So go ahead and stand up with me. We're going to worship him today. We're going to worship him with passion because he's worthy. He is worthy. Not just because he found my sprinkles, but because he loves us, church. Every little detail about you matters to him.
Church, I'm going to do a call to worship out of Psalm 138. It says this, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. Father, we just come before you today. We worship you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you for the big things, the small things, that you are faithful. You are trustworthy. And we worship you this morning. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship.
Church, we magnify the name of Jesus. We lift up the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, the name that is above depression, the name that is above fear and anxiety, the name that is above lack and sickness, the name that is above torment. His name is above the devil. His name is above every lie that must come down. Every idol must come down. Every high thing must come down as we lift up the name of Jesus. Alleluia. Alleluia. Church, we're going to take communion this morning. I love that we take communion every week. Every week, for the most part. Every week. And I love that we do it in the way that we do it. You know, and I wish, you know, I could say, you know, Pastor and Jason and I, we're just such great leaders. You know, we knew the entire significance and all that God was doing when we did it like this. We just didn't have enough ushers. And I liked this aspect, but I didn't realize that when we walk to the table, when we come to the table, it is an act of our will. It's an act of our will. The power of Jesus, the love of Jesus, his blood and his body, it will not wrestle you to the ground. Force open your life and apply itself because it doesn't do that. He stands at the door and he knocks. We walk to the table. We do the same thing with our offering. During the break, we have buckets up here and it's bring joyfully. You move your feet, one in front of the other. And that's exactly how faith works. That's exactly how faith works. It's just one step at a time and not giving up. Not giving up and resting in who he is, resting in what he has done. So church, I release you. You can come down to the tables. If you're a guest here, you just come down to the table and pick up your elements. The plate in the center is gluten-free. And then you circle back around to your seats. We circle back around so we don't have any fish swimming upstream. And hold on to your elements. Pastor Jason is going to come up. We're going to partake of communion together this morning.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The name of Jesus. Above every name. The power to break every chain. Jesus, we just focus our hearts on you now, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice to lay down your life, your body broken, your blood shed, so so that we can have an eternal relationship with God. Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you that this cross, the representation of your body broken, your blood shed, means so much that we can even, we're just beginning to continue to comprehend and understand the depths of your mercy and grace, your healing. Jesus, we thank you. We worship you, Lord. We give you all the honor and the praise today. The Bible says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. We'd given thanks, he broke it. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus' body broken for us. Same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Jesus' blood. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just worship you today. We thank you for your body. We thank you for your blood shed. Thank you for your resurrection power, Lord. We thank you for your name, Jesus, the name above every name. So, Lord, as we continue to worship here this morning, that we would truly, truly, truly give you all the honor and praise, for you are worthy of it all. Amen. Let's worship.
As we were worshiping, I felt like the Holy Spirit was just speaking so clearly that there is such a special invitation this morning to come and to lay it all down. And the word that he gave me specifically was to shed. And I saw this picture of like when you're out in the cold and you have like your big coat on and you come into the warmth and you take your coat off and how good it feels to get the thickness off and the layers off and to like expose yourself to the warmth of your house. That is what the Lord is inviting us to do this morning. And we have access in that song, "Night and Day Let Incense Arise." That was back in the Old Testament in the tabernacle when the incense burned day and night. And what it represented was the prayers of God's people. And when Jesus was crucified, the veil was torn and there was no separation anymore from God. We have continual 24 access to come to the Father through Jesus. And there's an invitation so strong. The Holy Spirit is inviting us so strongly this morning to come and to let go and to shed the things that need to go.
Father, we worship you. We give you all the praise and the honor and the glory that is due unto you. We lay down our lives before you in worship. Let our praises be acceptable to you, O God. And we stand in your presence by the blood of Jesus, where you have told us that nothing can keep us from you. Nothing can keep us from your love. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Father, for a righteousness that we could not earn. Father, deliver us from striving to earn your love. Deliver us from striving, Father. We will trust in you. We will trust in the name of the Lord. We will rest in you. And we will partake of the blessing of Abraham. We will partake of all of the promise by the blood of Jesus alone. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Church, isn't he sweet? Isn't he sweet?
I'm sure y'all just had a phenomenal week flying high on the mountaintops, but I needed Jesus this morning, this week, every minute and every breath. Isn't he sweet? And isn't he good? It's always hard to move on out of this space, but we're gonna. Are you good? We're gonna take a little break. We do this. If you're a guest here, we welcome you. It is an honor to worship the Lord with you. If you don't know Jesus, you're like, "Oof, these people." We love him because he is worthy of our love. We love him because the good news is good. And if you haven't experienced his goodness, then ask for him to come in and you will experience his goodness. It is his goodness that will turn your life around. It is his goodness that will turn your life around, that will carry your burden. And your life will change. Your behavior will change. Your thoughts will change. And you will have victory. What you won't have is ease. I'm just saying, so many times we tell people, come, believe in the Lord Jesus. And somehow there's this promise that, or there's an implied ease. Like he's just going to make it all work out for you. Well, we're going to have victory in the end. But I can promise you this, it is not easy. Because all of hell will come against. But when we rest in him and when we stand in the blood and the body of Jesus, then all of hell doesn't stand a chance. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. So if you don't know him, come and grab us during the break. Let's pray. Or at the end of service. Or email. Anything. Anything. You got to know Jesus. You got to get with Jesus. Because there is no other way. If I talk to each individual person here and I said, tell me which ways you've tried. Oh, the answers we'd get from the honest ones. Praise God, I've never tried anything but Jesus. Yeah, you should try telling the truth. We've all tried. We try now. We try now. You know, oh, I did so good today. I feel so good about myself. It is all just Jesus. It's funny we sang this song today. I don't pay attention to like cue sheets and what songs we choose on purpose because I trust our worship leader. I trust her heart for Jesus. Her heart for the Lord and for intimacy with him is inspiring. And I trust his spirit in her as she leads us in worship, in the purity of her love for God, not in her perfection, but in the purity of her love for God. So I didn't know we were singing that song. And oddly enough, if you think I'm super spiritual and I'm at home like contemplating these greater spiritual truths all week, you're wrong. I have 8 children. I have a husband, right? Like that's a full-time job. If you have one child, if you have none children, like living is a full-time thing, right? But I was thinking this week about the casting of crowns. And I don't know what I was doing. Usually it's when I'm folding laundry, but it was not that. It was something else. I was at the dining room table and I was doing something. And it's like I imagined, or maybe I just talked to someone, and people always want to say, oh, you're such a good mom. Like, oh, it's amazing. Like, you have all this wisdom for motherhood and all this stuff. And it's like they continually want to put this crown on my head. And it's funny because the Lord wants us to stand in glory. But I know it's all him. It was only him. Like, it was only him. And I know it so deeply. And as I was thinking on that, I think I wasn't feeling like a very good mom at that moment. And so the Lord was encouraging me. But as I saw the crown, I understood the elders cast their crowns. Because it was all Jesus. Because I was the mom one day at 11 a.m. with a glass of wine. Don't do it, because it doesn't help. Glass of wine in the corner crying. And I Googled how to quit motherhood without hurting your kids. That's how low I felt, how much I felt like they deserved better than me, that I was failing them. And it was a lie. But oh, did it feel real? So who gets the glory? Who gets the glory? It wasn't me. It wasn't me. This man has an anointing to preach, and he preaches the word. But I've known him since for a long 25 years. And I know this man is not a man of many words. And he's not a passionate thinker or a passionate speaker unless there's sports involved. And so he knows, you know, he knows it's all Jesus. The anointing flows out of the throne. And he gets all the glory. He glories in taking what the world throws away and raising it up, raising people up. I love the Bible. It's full of these unlikely heroes. Gideon hiding in the basement. That's the equivalent of Liz in the mobile home in the corner at 11 a.m., you know, trying to quit motherhood. Let me just be clear, because they're here. It wasn't them. You guys weren't the issue. I will never quit on you. Gideon in the, you know, hiding. You know, David watching Bathsheba take a bath. Like, you didn't know you shouldn't be doing that. Like, there's trouble brewing. I just love what God does. And it's so counter-cultural to the world system. So be encouraged. If you're a hot mess this morning, but you encountered Jesus and you opened your heart to him and you worshiped him fully anyway, you invited him in, be encouraged, because you're exactly the candidate that he wants. He will turn your life around if you don't give up and if you just hold fast to him. And guess who'll give you the strength to do that? He does. If you just believe, well, guess who gets us, who gets behind us and lifts us up, says, believe in me. Even our faith is his credit and his glory. You know, if we be still and know, well, who brings me into stillness? It's not an act of my will. It's him. It's him. Oh, okay. Sorry. I know, it's hard to transition. It's hard for me to transition out. Okay, so we are going to take a break. We're going to greet one another, and we're going to say hi to one another. If you're a guest, that's how I went off. If you're a guest, welcome. In the back of the seats, there's a connection card. It's a place where you can put your email, and we will send you an email that just connects you with more information about our church. It's also a place you can put prayer requests and praise reports. Those connection cards go in the offering buckets. The offering buckets will be up here during the break. I encourage you, bring your tithes, bring your offerings, bring your prayers and your praises to the Lord. Do it with joy. Do it trusting him. Also, if you have kids, nursery 0 to 3 is open. Littles ministry, ages 4 to 6, it's out the door and to the right. Older kids, we have sermon bags. If you're a guest with a child, we have bags. The kids stay in service. They can sprawl out on the floor. They can color. But they're always listening. And so they get to be ministered to in the service, and we give them little things to help keep their hands busy. So I think that's it. Let's take a little break. We'll come back up in about 5 minutes. Guys, normally I'm up here having to, like, call it to order, like, gavel it out, which we love that you guys are so social. Couple of announcements before we get started with the word. First is Luciano Group is tonight at 6:30. That is here in the sanctuary. I always point over here. I don't know if they actually do it. Do they do it over here? Because I'm always like... Paul is in, he goes to warmer places in the winter because he can do that. And so tonight we have Rory teaching. This is a teaching group. I mean, it is a group where you will come and you will get the word and you will grow in knowledge. So that's tonight at 6:30. I encourage you to come to that. Next Sunday, we have Jeremy and Jocelyn Gall coming to minister. Yeah? Okay. If you've never been here, when Jeremy and Jocelyn have been here, you are in for a treat. They are Rhema grads. They are evangelist missionaries. And he just preaches with power. And I always say this, and I'm always going to say it. It's like faith on an IV. It's like, oh, you just get infused with faith direct to your veins. I love it. It's like, oh, you just feel filled up and inspired, and he's just powerful, powerful sharing of the gospel, of the word, and it is like an infusion of faith. So don't miss next Sunday. I say that. I'm not going to be here next Sunday. I'll be traveling with one of my daughters. But Pastor Jason will be here. But don't miss it. If you can come, don't miss it. You don't want to miss it. Next, we have Stations of the Cross. Every year, we make available to you, this is a booklet that's on the back table, and it's just a devotional. It begins on Friday, the 22nd, and it takes you through the Stations of the Cross. We intentionally pursue the cross by meditating on the scriptures concerning Jesus's journey to Calvary. I love these booklets. I love how it focuses us in. I love the art. Last year we had different artwork, which I also liked, but wow, I love this artwork. Meditate on it, and let's do it together as a church. Don't leave today without that. And lastly, also on the back table, Good Friday multi-church service. We've done this for many years. Erie First Assembly hosts. We are very good friends with Nicole. Also with Matt and Jen Friend from New Beginnings. Those are relationships that we value. And so this is a great service. You should go to it. We will be going to it. It's the 29th, Good Friday, at 6:30 p.m. And childcare will be available. What Erie First is doing is they've asked each of the churches that are participating if they would be willing to contribute to childcare. So if you, ECF has been charged with the room that has 18 months to 2-year-olds. Yeah, so that's an active room. It's a fun room. If you're willing, please see Jenny. Jenny has her hands raised. She's waving. If you're willing to play with the kids on Good Friday, that would be awesome. And we've asked our regular nursery workers, but you know, guys, they do it on the regular. And we're coming on 2 years. I was thinking about that. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for those regular nursery workers. So if you're regular and you want to do Good Friday, awesome. But if you're not someone who regularly serves, see Miss Jenny, and that could be something that could be a blessing. Pastor Jason.
Okay, guys, I have a
just a quick scripture for our tithes and offerings, and then we're going to do something a little different, obviously.
We're not both usually up here.
This morning, yeah, we're not both normally up here, but just have a reading out of Proverbs 16. It says, a man's heart plans his ways. I mean, no, that's true. How many of us plan our ways, man, right? It's good to make a plan. Nothing wrong with a plan. But the Lord directs his steps. And as I read that, it's almost as if, you know, you get this plan on paper, you put this stuff together. It's funny because we're going to be talking about, you know, the church here today, some church family business. But, you know, you put this plan on paper, but the Lord directs your steps. Interesting. It's like the next step. And then he directs the next step, then the next step. And sometimes we think where the final destination is, and maybe that is a destination, but our view to get there is maybe this way. And he's got a little bit of path over here, and then down zigzag through this aisle and back over here. And he gets us there sometimes in a different way than we thought. And I love that because he's so faithful for the journey. My daughter has in her room, Grace, sorry, I'm going to call you out on this. There's a little poster I think we got at Hobby Lobby. It says, what about the, something about the next chapter?
I trust the next chapter because I know the author.
Yeah, I trust in the next chapter because I know the author. Isn't that good? I trust, so these steps that we're taking, I trust that next step because I know the author who's authoring that step. So let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your goodness to this church family, Father God, for, Lord, for 30 plus years. And Lord, we just are so grateful and honored to be in this space that you have provided us, Lord. We thank you for the generosity of this church family, of the giving heart that you have placed within our family here, Father. And so, Lord, I just pray you bless all the finances, Lord. I pray you bless this time of sharing that we have, Father God, today as we just want to honor you and seek you and glorify you for who you are. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, guys, you can turn with me in their Bibles to 2 Corinthians 9. Okay, I'm going to try to use my own clicker today. This is fancy. I've never used my own click. This is more of a church family business, so I'm going to try to do. Let me just try it once, see what happens. Oh, it worked.
Yeah, okay. So if you're a guest, so if you're a guest, this is different. We don't normally do this. Today was a church family business day. So if you're a guest, you get to sit in on church family business. We're going to share some testimonies. Pastor Jason's going to share out of the word, and then we're going to go over some things. So.
Yeah, and I, what we wanted to do is we wanted to open up, before we talk about a bunch of church business and vision and finances, and we got some things we'll hand out to you guys towards the end here. But I wanted to open up with a scripture that I think really demonstrates the heart of God for giving and generosity in the New Testament. And I think there's a lot of questions about Old Testament and New Testament. And I want to share this passage of scripture with you that I want to talk about just for a minute. And then I'm going to have you give sort of our testimony of this. But it says this, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, it starts. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Then there's a promise that comes along with this, which I love, and the Bible does this over and over. And if you ask Brother Paul, you know, he's down in Florida, but there's 11,000 plus promises in the Bible that we can stand on. And here's one of them. It's interestingly, as we sow, and as we give cheerfully, and it says, and God is able. Can we get an amen for that? And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. All sufficiency, all things. God is able to provide in every circumstance, in every situation, no matter what it is, all things, all sufficiency, may have an abundance for every good work. And as I read that scripture, really to me sort of sums up, you know, there's talks about the tithe a lot in the Old Testament, and we talk about giving in the New Testament, and what does that look like, and how does that operate? And I believe this scripture really does a great job, because it talks about the principle of sowing and reaping. And how many of you know sowing and reaping is operational in every area of our life? We, you know, when we sow discord, guess what we get in return? Discord. When we sow love into our children, guess what we get in return? Love from our children. And so it's just this amazing scripture. And so I wanted to just have you share a little bit about our testimony as far as giving, what this scripture sort of means to us. Go ahead.
Okay, so we're talking.
I forgot to do the scripture changes. So thank you, Jake.
We're talking about giving this morning. So we're talking about financial giving. But when I read, or as Pastor Jason was even reading this scripture, I think about our family. And I think before we have a conversation about tithing and about giving and about finances, which is very practical, that's why we call it church business, right? Because we view that as very practical, and it is practical. But God set up the church as a family. He chose to show himself to us as Father. He chose that. That's the wording that he chose. And correct me if I'm wrong, always. Prior to Jesus coming, Father was not the terminology that the people of God used for God. Father wasn't on their radar. Jesus came, and it was revolutionary to represent God as a father. And then we are children of God. And so there is... that's always profound to me, and it honestly, it just puts it in a way that I can understand. My training ground for ministry was family, was 8 children and marriage, and God has just been so faithful through it all. He was always stretching us, always challenging us. If you don't like to be challenged, my friend, I am sorry for you. I am sorry. I love to be challenged. Well, okay. I don't love it in the moment. I don't love it in the moment. I can't count the number of times I've gone home angry at people. Angry at people, you see. And I worked it out with God, and he was just like, they're right on. That's right. You need, that's right. And he was always so gentle and always so kind. But he has challenged us in so many ways. But as you were reading that scripture, I thought about our family and how when my children cheerfully give of their treasure and sew it into the fabric of our family, it multiplies into this amazing harvest of love. What is their treasure? What is the treasure of a child? They certainly don't have any money. and I don't want their money. What is their treasure? It's their time. Yeah. And once they're teenagers, it's their attention. You know, it's funny when they're little, it's like you can't get them off you. You know, like they're attached to your leg. You're like, gosh, go self-play a little bit. But then then something happens and they begin to grow. And then I just see like hints of Eva throughout the day. And I'm like, where is she? Where? She's 14. Where is she? You know? And she'll I'm like, where have you been? She's like, oh, I was downstairs drawing. I was in my room drawing, you know? But when they give of themselves, their attention, their time, and their work, that's their treasure, their effort into our home. In our house, we call it their reasonable contribution to the family. We don't call it chores. It's a reasonable contribution, which helps us to reflect, is this reasonable? Are we asking too much of them? And the answer is usually no. But and so if one of them is struggling to do like Poops Ahoy, Poops Ahoy is picking up the dog poo. We've named it Poops Ahoy. There's a story behind it. It's really cute. But the person whose job it is to do Poops Ahoy doesn't like to do it. I'm not going to say who it is, but every day it's a struggle for him. And you like that, right?
There you go.
I have one son out of eight children. So sometimes I'm tempted to be like, oh, maybe I should give him a break. Maybe we should have Jason do it for a while. I mean, he's the one who wanted the dogs in the first place. Not at all.
Truth.
No. But then it's like the Lord reminds me, this is their reasonable contribution to the family, and it is a joy for them. Maybe not today, but it will be. It will be. So our testimony as far as giving is different. We come from two different families. In the family of God, and we are a family, church. We are a family. That's how we run it. That's how we talk about it. That's how we seek God on your behalf. As parents for the kids. And that's not meant to be patronizing in any way. It's just
the family that God
it's just the family
right?
and the responsibility that God has given. But you learn about generosity and you learn about that in your family of origin. Generosity and giving and obedience is all rooted in trust. Yeah. It's rooted in trust. If you were raised in a home where trust abounded, trust in God, trust in just trust, like a trusting, safe environment, you may have an easier time of letting resources and treasure pour into your life and also flow out of your life. But if you grew up not having financially, and y'all know this is true because in the Great Depression, right, we all have those grandparents that saved tinfoil. And like shoelaces and stuff, like they just save everything. And it's because they didn't have. And so you tend to do this because you have an experience that taught you that you need to take care of yourself. You need to, yeah. So that is kind of where you learn about giving and about this posture of trust, this posture of open-handedness. It's like I didn't come into the world with anything. Everything I have, every good thing has been given to me by God. If you're hard worker, I've earned everything. I've worked hard. Yeah, you did. But the ability to work is a gift of God to you. The motivation, the mental health is a gift from God. Ask anyone who fights for their mental health, who comes from a family where mental health wasn't a given. You had to fight for it in faith. Man, that's tough. And it will interfere with your ability to be that super diligent, like consistent employee who can work hard and get promoted. Like, everything is a gift from God. Came in with nothing, and we will exit with nothing. Nothing but the legacy that we leave behind us. So when we talk about giving, so we knew we're going to come up, we're going to talk about giving, we're going to talk about finances. I see it all as just part of this bigger set of principles of trust in God and of really reminding myself of my position. My position is just to receive and to give. So my story of tithing, my dad struggled with a lot of things. If you're here, if you're our church family, you know I've got, you know, I just grew up in a rough situation. But my dad got saved when I was 3, and he really got into Kenneth Copeland teachings. So the one thing he kind of got straight on real quick was tithing. And he just latched onto that principle, and we lived it. And gosh, for the first 15 years of my life, we did not have like 10 to 15 years. I mean, my grandmother really supported our family, really made sure we had Christmas gifts and all those things. And then when we began to have more money, and my mom worked hard and she became a nurse, and she, as we began to have money, we were tithers. And I remember my first job, I was a hostess and a waitress at Perkins. And I love to work hard. I love to work hard, especially when it's in something that's very concrete. I like boundaries. Like, this is my job. My job is to make sure that when someone walks in this restaurant, they have a phenomenal experience. And I never was callous. I never cared if someone changed their order, asked a lot of questions, or wanted their ketchup on the side. Like, I wasn't ever, I just loved it. I loved it. And I made really good money. And my dad, when I first started the job, he got me a ledger. There were no smartphones, not even close yet to smartphones. Like 2 decades away from there being smartphones, maybe 3. Yeah, 3. Wow. Okay. He came in my room and he said, "This is how you do your money." And because I earned tips, it was cash. He said, "Every night when you come home, you count out your tips, take 10% off the top and put it in your drawer." And he said, "And when you're, you know, when it gets full, you take it to church and you give it." And at that time, he said, "Don't count it." He's like, "Just don't count it. It's not yours. You don't need to know how much it is, because it will only tempt you. It will only tempt you to covet what is not yours." Yeah. Oh, it was good. And I was so thankful, because it was from the very beginning, the first money I earned, he taught it to me as a principle. There was no condemnation in it. There was no, like, "You have to do this or else." There was just, "This is the way it is." So there was just a built-in trust. Like, this belongs to God. It all belongs to God. And this is his portion that you give to him because you love him and because you want to honor him. Not, I mean, yeah, I want to sow. And yeah, I want to be obedient. But really what I want to do is honor God. And what's the difference between honor and obedience? I saw this really great thing, and I actually sat down with my kids. Obedience says, "Man, mom told me I have to clean the kitchen. Fine, I'll clean the kitchen." And you do it, and you do it just barely. You do it just enough that you're not going to get in trouble, and then you disappear. That's obedience. It's not very good obedience, but it's obedience. Honor is when you wake up and say, "Oh, wow, this kitchen's a mess. I'm going to get it done before mom gets up." She's always so much happier when she comes down to a clean house. And you do it, and you do it beautifully, and there's joy in your heart, and you're cheerfully giving. You're cheerfully giving. That's honor. So I think I'm thankful to my dad for that lesson. I will say, so that's my story. His story is not that. Right. But when we came into adulthood, he's still more generous. I had that great foundation, but it was still hard for me to give. When we started making more money, you do count it because you have to do a tax return. And you see that number at the end of the year, and you're just like, "We gave how much?" Like, well, that could have been a vacation. That could have been a new car. Like, that could have been a lot of things. And I never let myself go there or think that, because it's not mine. It's not my money. Right. But at one point, I feel like we had been married probably for about 5 years. The Lord started, he just began to challenge us. He challenges us, church, because he loves us, because he wants to grow us up. If you're living and you're just hunky-dory, feeling good about you, and you haven't been challenged in a while, then you're not growing, okay? It's So you're not growing. You want to be always growing in God. He challenged us through, we heard something, probably from church or from somewhere. And it had never occurred to us that we could tithe our pay, the gross, like before the taxes came out. Like it never occurred to us that the taxes come out first and then we were tithing. And it was like, wow, okay, so the Bible says in, it's Romans 11:16, right?
Yeah, that, I have that up there, yeah.
You have it up there?
Yeah. Look at me with this clicker. This is fantastic.
You're loving it, I know. For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. So it's like we wanted to give God, we thought we were giving God first. On our budget, on our like Excel spreadsheet, tithe is always first. And that's just us like, nope, it's first. We want to do everything we can to put God first. And then this thought came in and boy, did I struggle. I was like, really? Like we're going to give more? Like, isn't this enough? And he was like, no, I want to do the gross. And I mean, it's not like I was hard. It wasn't hard for me to, but it was a step for me. I really had to, I had to do it on purpose and I had to do it like, okay, I want to do this, even though it's hard. I want to honor God and I want to go bigger. I want to go bigger. And so we did that. So this is our testimony. I'm not putting anything on y'all. If you know me by now, I'm not putting anything on y'all. It's a journey. I'm telling you my journey, right? So then this guy comes to me. He's like, I want to tithe our tax return. What? Okay, the government has taxed the money. We already tithe that money. You want to double tithe it. Like, that's just our money that was held somewhere and given back to us. And now you want to tithe it again? This is the guy that if we go out to dinner, I have to get the check because he's going to tip that waitress like 40%. I'm not kidding. Like 40%. And I want to be generous, but can we be reasonably generous? How about 25%? And that's 5% more than it probably should be. Like, I'm not stingy, but I'm accurate. Like, I like exact things, right? I like exact. 10%. That's exact. Well, now we're doing 10% on the gross, so that feels more like 12%. Now you're coming back around with my tax return. I got big plans for that sucker, and now you want to tithe that.
Whose tax return?
I know. So there I am at this crossroads. I'm being challenged, and I know my heart. I know I love the Lord. I know I want to be obedient. I know I want to honor God. And I'm like, this is just hard, and I can't wrap my head around it. And so we just sat with it for a while, and I sat with it for a while. And guess what, church? There's no condemnation. When you're journeying and when you're being challenged and you're really doing it with God, there's not condemnation. There's actually space. Yeah. It's like, yeah, all right. Your heart is to obey. Your heart is to honor. And I look at the heart. But here's this challenge. Why don't you chew on that for a while? So as we were chewing on it for a while, yeah. I got an idea. And it excited me. And I was like, what if we could tithe our tax return, but we can put it in a separate fund, like for benevolence. So if someone we know is out of a job, we can give. Like we have a storehouse for giving that's separate from our tithe. And it excited me, and I just felt I just felt his pleasure, you know, because I just felt like it was such a good idea, and it wasn't my idea. I felt like it was his idea. Like, you can be creative in your giving. And so that is how we've progressed to this point. Yeah. On top of those things, if we're going to talk about the local church, we're going to talk about the principle of the tithe and how it relates to the local church. And again, I mean, I'll just keep going. Did you want to say anything?
No, go ahead. Finish that thought.
When we were having this conversation, we've always tithed our official tithe, whatever percentage, because it's a journey, whatever percentage you are committing to, we have always tithed it to the local church. Yeah. And I frame it in the way of family. My kids can go to their friend's house. And when they go to their friend's house, I expect them to be helpful. Clear your dinner dishes. Offer to help dry dishes and put them away. Like, they will do and give of themselves to that family, but it's not to the neglect of their family. Of their reasonable contribution is to the place where they eat, the place where they sleep. And this is a family. So this is where I'm going to use an example. So we give to John Bevere,
in case you wanted to know. And just a little bit, John Bevere at Global Impact, which is Victoria and Mark Bowling. We as a church support them, and we as a family support their ministry. So there's a couple other ministries that we give to. In our home, that's above and beyond. That's giving that we want to give because we believe in what they're doing. It is not a part of our tithe because we give into this family. We give into this family because this is our family. This is the family we've been called to and that's placed right. in. And the way we think about that is, you know, if I had surgery, if I had knee replacement surgery, this is an example. Someone had knee replacement surgery, and I hadn't seen them in a while, and I knew they were having it, and I knew that we hadn't reached out, and I began thinking about him, and I was, like, doing dishes or something, and I just began praying. I was like, oh, just bless him, Lord, and I just, you know, I just pray that everything is good, and my heart and my mind was for this person because this person is part of our this family. John Bevere is not praying for me if I have my knee replaced. Do you know what I mean? Like, God is not putting me on John Bevere's heart. That's not my family. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Like, in the spirit, y'all belong to us, and we belong to you. That's right. That's what family is. So I may not have spoken to you. I may not remember your name sometimes. Just there's these mornings when I don't remember their names. I mean, it takes me three tries. Lila's laughing. She knows it's true. It takes me three tries to identify and get the face and the name. It feels like a slot machine, and it's rolling through the options, and I'm trying to line the face up with the name and then remember what I wanted to tell them. Whew. But we belong to one another, and this is our family. So the tithe, in our experience, is brought into the storehouse for the family. Another bit about our actual family is everything's not fair. If a kid needs braces, we don't keep a spreadsheet, okay? You know, Grace's mouth probably costs like $5,000. That doesn't mean that we owe $5,000 of goods and services to other kids.
It's a gorgeous mouth.
It is a gorgeous mouth. Small, but beautiful. That's not how it's given. You don't give in order to receive. You don't that's give right. measuring and counting and trying to make sure you get your due. You give with generosity. You give because you love. You give because you're in a trust and loving relationship with God. Mostly you give out of obedience to God. You're giving to God. We are giving to God. If you think for a minute that me and Jason, like, agreed with every single decision and every single direction of the church that we've been a part of for 30 years, you would be mistaken. Right. It's not our expectation that y'all always agree with us or agree with the exact decisions that we're making. It's our expectation that you are part of us, that you love us, that you trust us. Like, I don't love this. I don't quite see it, but I trust them, and mostly I trust the Lord. I trust their walk with the Lord. And we always never once doubted Pastor Jim and Pam and their commitment to the Lord, their integrity before God, never. So when I was tempted to be like, well, you know, we give a lot to that, and we give a lot to whatever, and I don't like the way they're doing X, Y, and Z, I was never tempted to try to make it so that somehow I had a say. That was none of my business, and I knew it. And I know the danger of getting up in criticizing people where you don't, you know the danger of children when they question you in ways that they shouldn't. Ooh, you know? I remember, and then I'm going to turn it over to you. Yep. One time, I think Lila has gotten one spanking in her life because she is just the sweetest, this is the sweetest and the most earnestly awesome kid, right? But she was 4 years old, and this guy was walking down the hallway in the mobile home, and that girl, I don't even know what she said, but she shot something out of her mouth. And she was just like, I mean, it had all of this sass. And, I mean, he came down on her. You know, it was the only spanking she ever got. And I don't think she is sassed off with oomph like that ever again. But when we get up into, well, this is what I deserve. Let me tell you, Mom, what I deserve. Woo, you better run. You better run because you're about to get what you deserve. So in our journey, God was just good. He really was there was a really well-established principle of the tithe in my life, but not trust. So my the principle was established out of obedience, and then the principle, I think, was established in your heart just out of trust.
Yeah.
And it's been a good combination. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so I, some of the questions, I guess, we get, we sort of answered some of them, is you know, they talk about, well, did Jesus do away with tithing in the New Testament? You know, and you get all these theological questions that go back and forth. Why? There's no evidence that I see that he's done away with it. In fact, what he is in some of the scriptures we talk about is he challenges us to be a cheerful giver. He challenges us. And I'm just, this is just kind of on the record. I'm not saying it, you know, it's not in the Bible, but everyone who I've talked to who has said, I said, okay, well, challenge yourself and see what the Lord wants you to give. And just ask him. Like, you know, the Bible talks in Malachi about 10% of the tithes. So we'll just ask him. And every time I challenge someone to do that, they'll come back to me a year later and be like, you know what? The Lord ended up, I ended up giving more than 10% at the end of the day because that's how the Lord challenged me, you know, in trusting in him. And so we just wanted to encourage you guys that, you know, tithing is a principle that is clearly in the Old Testament. We don't believe Jesus did away with it. And then you get into these discussions regarding should it be for the local church or should it be, you know, for a parachurch ministry. And we sort of shared where we feel it's not in the Bible that says thou shall give 10%, you know, to your local church. But for us, and I want to get into, you know, the local church here and us as a church family, it's important because it is, you know, it's a contribution, you know, to the family. And you are part of this family. You're part of the Erie Christian Fellowship Church family. And we're blessed to have you guys as part of that. So I want to talk just for a minute about some vision for the church and show you our vision slide. But before I say it, before I forget, I want you guys to know that we do not know what you give.
Right.
Okay, like we don't, there are people that do the counting and stuff like that. We have chosen to not know what you give. Now, we may ask, is someone giving in general? Because we believe if someone is giving, it's kind of a reflection of their heart and where they're at. And when someone is not giving to this local church, yet they're attending, it means there's some, usually some type of heart issue that maybe we should address, talk about, pray about, etc. But that's the only thing we will ever ask.
If someone's consistently giving and then they stop.
Right, and even and that's, you know, yeah. We don't usually know it unless the Lord sort of leads us to it. So we just want you guys to know, we do not know, because someone asked us, like, you know, about something about giving, like, you know, when we did this and we did that, I was like, that's news to me.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? It's like, yeah, I have no idea. We don't know. I don't check. I don't track. We have no idea. So, you know, that's between you and the Lord. Okay, so let me just, I have a vision chart here that I want to show you. Got a lot of guys have, you've seen this before, and it's sort of the foundation from a vision perspective of this local church family. And Pastor Liz has mentioned it. We are a family church. I mean, it's just, it's kind of our tagline. It's been our tagline in the past. The tagline went away for a little bit. We brought the tagline back 5 years ago. Erie Christian Fellowship Church, we are a family church. We operate like a family. We love you guys like a family. And this is how, you know, we believe the local church should be run. But there are these four quadrants, and you probably can't see it, but that's Route 79 going down and Route 90 going across. And actually, if you look at the map, it sort of makes a cross. And some of the things that we have had, you know, the Lord had spoken several things over Erie in general, that Erie would be a beacon of light coming out of Northwest Pennsylvania. And we believe, you know, in, we're talking about this Good Friday service, one church, one city, one church, that we are a part of the Church of Erie. We are one family, one church family in the greater Church of Erie. And if you look at the New Testament, you know, Paul wrote a lot of letters to the church at Ephesus, the church at Philippi. Well, there are many different congregations within that. We are a congregation within this Church of Erie. And we believe, and we're trusting in that word, that this is not just a beacon of light, Erie, Pennsylvania. But in these times, and Pastor Andy had this word as too, is this is going to be a city of refuge. And I don't say that lightly, guys. And what a city of refuge is a place where people come because they are unsafe somewhere else. And we don't know what the next couple years will look like. We don't know when Jesus' return is going to happen. But I do know that God has called us, Erie Christian Fellowship Church, placed us in this city at this time, for this purpose, and that we will be part of this city of refuge for those. And so we have these four quadrants. These are things that we believe in. We want to see happen on a regular basis. We want to see people who are lost to be saved. Life-changing experience with Jesus. Those who are sick to be healed. We believe in the prophetic gifts and in the, you know, the functioning of the Holy Spirit. We believe lives to be transformed and a spiritual journey of maturity as we help, as we disciple, and as we walk through that. And families thriving. I mean, we like families. We love families thriving. We love seeing kids all around. And one of the words over this church in particular has been from several people, including yourself, is that this campus, there's a vision of this campus, which is hundreds and hundreds of children running around it. And when I think of how the Lord begins to orchestrate, the city of refuge and this beacon of light and family and just having this campus filled with children day in and day out is really excites us and excites our heart for Erie Christian Fellowship. And then there's these three P words that go around the outside. And I think one of the kids were laughing. His dad, one of them pizza. No. No, one of the P words is not, just because it looks like a pizza pie. But these three words, I believe, are sort of what is the engine that makes everything go round at Erie Christian Fellowship Church. And the first one, of course, is a foundation of prayer. We've got great prayer teams. And we are a people of prayer. We want to continue to, you know, drive that and be prayerful. And then partnership on the top right as well. Look, we can't be everything to everybody. However, we truly believe in places like the City Mission, and we want to participate with them. We want to partner with them. We don't have to feed the homeless ourselves, but we can partner with organizations that do. And then that final P down at the bottom is sort of what we've been talking about a little bit here this morning, is participation. It takes participation from every single person in this room, everyone who calls this their church family, to be a participant in that. What else? You got anything else on that piece of it? Okay, so guys, what we're going to do for the last maybe 15 minutes is we're going to shut off the sort of the live feed. And what we've done in the past is we've done this church family business where we go over the financials of our church, and we usually do it after church. And
we dismiss
everybody, and it's usually busy, it's usually late, everyone's running to get their kids, and God bless you guys. But, you know, there's like 15, 20 people who, like, really want to be a part of it and want to know that can stay, happen to stay for the answers. Well, we felt this year led to review the church finances with the church collectively, which is why we're calling it sort of this church family business. So for the purposes of the live feed, we're going to shut the live feed off. I got a couple ushers who are going to pass around some financial statements for you guys. That's like mine. Yeah. I got some notes on it. All right, we're going to pass that around, and we want to go through this with, because I believe, well, number one, I believe transparency is very important. One, I think you should know where your giving is going to. You know, what's going to where? Why is it going to those different places? And then the second thing, as these are coming out, we want you guys to know that we do have an external accountant, right, Tam? It's Michael Moore is our external accountant who does review the books and the finances as well. So this isn't us just, you know, making stuff up. Tammy Bendig is our bookkeeper. She's here today. She does a fantastic job. But these are also looked at by an external auditor as well. Okay. All right. So you guys have this in front of you? Yes? All right. I'm not going to read you the letter. It's a little love note from us. You guys can read it later. But essentially says this, is that in 2023... was a year of taking care of our campus. So for those who came at the beginning of 2023 would have seen peeling paint on the outside of this building, would have seen gutters that were no longer in operation and water just pouring down the sides of this building. And if you had the audacity to drive any more than 5 miles an hour through the parking lot, you would have quickly realized that the parking lot was in desperate need of repair. And God has blessed us. I'm going to walk through sort of the financials here. God has blessed us with some finances to be able to take care of this wonderful campus that God has given us and entrusted us with in 2023. And then the second thing, part of the letter really, is our ultimate goal, we've said this before over and over, is to be debt-free. Mm-hmm. We believe that God has called ECF to be debt-free. We got our debt chart on the wall over there. It's at 825, and we're believing the Lord to take that debt and to remove it completely. Okay, so let's go through. I do have it on the screen up here in case it's too small for you guys to see. So you can look at up here. I have each section listed out. I will briefly talk about this. Look, my other job is a CFO. Okay? That's a chief financial officer. So P&L statements, cash flows, balance sheets. When Miss Tammy sends them to me, it's like I always send her back, thank you so much for this month's P&L. I love this stuff, right? And this is like great detail of all the stuff going on. So I will not go in great detail. I will give you the high level business of the church, just like if you're part of this family, which you are. There's income and you have expenses. So I try to break it down very simple into two categories. So the income section, in 2023, we had a beginning cash balance of $220,000. And then there's income that we get that comes in, mostly, you know, as you put it on your offering envelope. There's several pieces of income that comes through. The very first one and the most important one, the one that we look at and sort of measure and budget by, is that first one called the General Operating Fund. And when you give your tithes and offerings, it's the first line on this offering envelope. It's the very first one that comes through. And you can see from 2022 to 2023, we did have an increase of the tithes and offerings on that first, on that top line. And at the end here, I'm going to tell you what that number needs to be for us to operate the way we want to operate. We believe that God has given us a vision to operate this church. The second line down is the capital fund. This is the debt reduction. This is, again, this is above and beyond the tithe. This is people are giving specifically to take the blocks off of that debt chart, $25,000 blocks at a time. And that actually increased year over year as well. Missions giving was about the same. And then there's something called an employee retention tax credit. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Again, this was sort of a tax credit during...
That's where the 221 came
from. Yeah, so you see that beginning cash balance of 221, the majority of that came because of a one-time tax credit. And so the Lord, I mean, really had blessed us with those funds to take care of. Because when you look at our expenses versus our income, we would not have been able to do the parking lot. We would have not been able to do the gutters, to paint the place, to do some of the AVs. All of the stuff that you are seeing happen really was a blessing from this employee retention tax credit. It was one time. It doesn't repeat. We don't get it again. We got it back in 2022. Then there's some other ministry giving. It's sort of the bottom line, the other category that you have there. So our total income for the year, for 2023, was $558. And then I want to look at our expenses. And these are, again, all on your chart here as well, or all in the handout that you have. So general and administrative, it's just what it says, general administrative. We are part of something called One Focus Network. And One Focus Network is our spiritual oversight organization. We do pay dues to them, and we go to conferences, and they bless us in a lot of different ways. And then payroll, if you can see. So basically our expenses are split up. A third of it is for the building, a third of it is for the staff, and a third of it is everything else. If you guys could take away remembering what that is. So a third of it is taking care of this campus, the building, the mortgage, the maintenance, the cleaning, all of the stuff. A third of it is the church staff salaries, and then a third of it is sort of all other. You can see on payroll, you say, wow, Pastor Jason, that really increased year over year. And really, we did, in faith, we believe the Lord was leading us to hire three positions, which we did in 2023.
Okay, well, Pastor Andy went from being unpaid to being paid.
Yeah, that's
so that's not a hire.
Yeah.
That's a...
He was already on board, we just weren't paying him.
Yes, that means it's time to...
that's fair clarification, yeah.
Yeah.
So it was Pastor Andy and then Jenny, came on for kids ministry, and Kara also came on as our executive assistant. So the Lord really, you know, challenged us and said, hey, you know, we want you to invest in these areas, in these categories, and the Lord promises he will provide. And then you got ministries and then building expenses. You can see that's a big one as well. Mortgage, maintenance, utilities. Believe it or not, it costs a lot to run this beautiful campus. And you probably do believe it. But really a third of everything that's given is going to run this facility and this campus. And then there's something called additional mortgage principal payments. And you guys have heard me speak about this or talk about it. Is we have a bank covenant in which we are required that we sort of signed up for to force us to do it of an additional $60,000 of debt reduction every year. So we've sort of like made a covenant and we made a sign with the bank that says, hey, above and beyond our mortgage payment, we are going to put $60,000 in addition, whatever, hopefully it's more than that. And you can see the past 2 years it's been right at six. It's not optional. It's what we have to go do, so it's part of our expenses. And then we've got projects and events and ministry outreach. So, you know, again, this is the parking lot, the painting, the gutters, mission support, et cetera. And then the ending cash balance at the end of last year was 124. So you can see it started at 220, ended at 120, and we really used a lot of that money that we got from the retention tax credit to do a lot of the stuff that we've already spoken about. Now, a couple other things I want to point out, I'll call it other financial data. We have a school here, and it's called Leadership Christian Academy, and it's a wonderful school. Five of our children attend that school. In fact, most of the kids that I see in here attend Leadership Christian Academy. The school was founded 18 years ago, and as a church, we have been funding that school. Because the school has not been self-sustaining as a startup schools, you know, normally they're not. And we, Tammy and I, had estimated that in 2023, the amount of costs that the church bore for Leadership Christian Academy, for cleaning, for maintenance, for other items, is about $77,000. So of those expenses that you saw in the previous chart, 77 grand of that was driven by the school. Now, what we have also done with the school is the school has been working tirelessly over the past 5 years, you know, to become more and more self-sufficient and self-sustained. And this past year, they've been able to give back to the church $51,000 a year. So you can see the net, you know, the church, the school is about $27,000 of what it costs us as a church family to support that school. And just so you guys know, we do not charge them rent. So that's just their, you know, the cost that they have for being here on campus. We do not charge them any rent. And then the retirement of the debt, this is a praise report. So you saw the $60,000 that we gave. Well, also, as most of you know, principal and interest is part of every mortgage payment. So as a church family, we were able to bring the debt down by over $100,000.
So that's four squares.
And that was four squares we took down in 2023. And we'd like to take down the remaining 20-some squares as fast as possible. And then the balance sheet information for those, or the benevolence fund, that's the money that we have to give to those in need. Our monthly mortgage payment, you can see there, is about $6,900. And then the building loan is at $865.
Talk about how money goes into the benevolence fund.
Yeah.
I know it's in here, but say
yeah,
it.
So the one comment here somebody asked, so how do you build the benevolence fund, is when you give... So you have tithes and offerings. When you give to the capital line to pay down the debt, we take 90% of it and send it directly to the mortgage company. The 10%, we take it and set it aside and we put it in benevolence fund. And so we take that extra 10% to be able to bless others in our community and those who are at our church.
This community.
In this community, right here specifically. And then the current value of the assets, but you know, based on the auditor, is about $4 million. So that's the value of the property. It's the value of the stuff in there. We don't own that. That's not ours. So somebody asked, like, I met somebody recently who they didn't understand how sort of a 501c3 and as a church operates. And they're like, man, did you buy the church? I was like, buy it. What do you mean buy it? Like, well, let's all like the assets. Like, is that yours? It's like, no, it's not ours. It's part of a 501c3 organization, and it has on its balance sheet $4 million, and That's the value of that organization. But it's not any individual person's. It's the collective group. It's this church family's assets. It's your assets. It's our assets, right? That's what that looks like. And then the last thing I want to do as a takeaway before we wrap up here is the weekly need. So you remember back here. Let me go back.
We used to have a bulletin.
The top line, you see the general operating fund that says 410. Well, given the expenses that we currently have, given the staff that we have, given the building costs, utility prices going up, all of that stuff that you experience on a day-to-day basis, the weekly need that we have on that top line as a church family is $9,000. So that top line, that very first one on the offering envelope, $9,000 for us to have a balanced budget. Recently, if I took the average that Tammy and I looked at over the past 3 to 4 months, it's been about 7. So, I mean, we're just being very transparent and open with you guys. Like, that top line needs to grow by $2,000 a week, or we have to make, you know, we have to ask and seek the Lord and figure it out. Because, as you know, as a family, you cannot have more expenses than you have income. Your little cash bank balance, it may be at 100 today, but it'll quickly go down when it doesn't balance out. So we just wanted that to be aware. We used to have a weekly bulletin that would always have that number in there. We don't do a weekly bulletin anymore, but what I can do is periodically, maybe once a month, give you an idea of what that current average is. So if you can walk away from here this morning knowing it needs to be 9, it's at about at 7. And so that's where we're at from a financial perspective. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, and I just think that weekly need, that's the tithe. So that doesn't include this.
Yeah, the above and beyond. That is all.
And
extra.
Like missions giving.
Right.
Or does that include? No, that does not include missions giving.
It's just to keep operating the way we're operating with the staff in the building.
The third is the staff. I like how you did that.
Yeah.
I on your behalf. I talk to him when he's putting this together. I'm like, remember, it's like you need to talk to us like we are. You know, in high school, we're smart people, but financially, like, he'll just, so I like that you broke that down. A third of it is staff, a third of it is building, and a third of it is everything else.
Basically.
Like ministries.
Yeah.
And it's really, I mean, we just seek the Lord. It's, I'll just be honest, I'll be transparent. I hate this thing.
And
I have to get before the Lord and say, God, I am thankful for the building. I'm thankful for what you've given. But you know, right? You buy a house and you go and you buy the house and you're like, oh, this is great. And then you live in it. And 5 years later, you're like, oh, I hate this house. You've learned all the expense that it takes. You've learned its little idiosyncrasies. You learned that the window leaks here and you got to get this fixed and all the maintenance and all. It's great when it's new. This is 18 years old, and I need to be careful because I will literally lay in bed at night and think about all the awesome ministry I could do, we could do, if, you know, we would free up that money that goes to that mortgage. And then the weekly need would be covered. Like, it just, we would be able to, our goal is always to spend more on ministry. It's the first thing when I stepped into this position and I sat down with him and I saw, like, what is the amount of money spent on ministry? That's the one number we want to increase.
That's right.
But doing ministry requires people. It just requires people. And so one thing we say and that the Lord encourages us with is that he called us to step into leadership of this church after he gave us 8 children. And I believe he did that on purpose because there is no way that Jason and Liz Ackerman can just make this happen. We can't do it on our own. We can't work 80 hours a week. We can't, you know, just have a Bible study every night of the week. Wouldn't that make some people happy? We can't do it without sacrificing the first ministry that he gave us. And he gave us that one first. So it really... I mean, we've had these conversations where it's just like, well, we could decrease the amount of staff, but then you can't do the ministry
right. Because
we can't do it by ourselves, right? So, like, you go round and round, like, well, you know, could we sell the building and, like, buy a smaller building? Well, we don't want to do that, you know? Like, we don't feel led to do that, so don't, you know, at this point, we don't feel led to do that. But know this, man, we pray. We are open. We're like, Lord, what do you want us to do?
We've done crazy things for Jesus. You know, I mean, we've done big, we're not afraid to do big things. Well, that's not true. I'm terrified of doing the big things, but we'll do them anyway. Okay? Like, I'm
out of obedience.
Absolutely. So when we go to the Lord about the finances, we, and Pastor Andy is with us, man. I mean, we pray and we say, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? What do you need us to do? Pastor Jason is bivocational. If you don't know that, this man works in every direction all the time. And Pastor Andy has earnestly tried to be bivocational. He just keeps pounding on God's door like, can I get another job? Can I ease this burden? Can I? And the Lord is just like, Pastor Andy is your pastoral care pastor.
Right.
This is his gift, man. He cares about the hearts and the lives of the people. Not that we don't, we do. But he is the guy who is going to call you. He's going to say, hey, how are you guys doing? Haven't seen you. You know, he gives us updates on how people are doing, and it is vital work. And Andy, Pastor Andy, I think that that is why it's like the work, it's like the work of the mother. Like, it's essential. It's essential, and it's irreplaceable. It's essential to the house, and it's irreplaceable. You're not like a mom, although you are very nurturing. Okay, moving on. So I just want to close that out with one. Thank you for being the finance guy. Thank you for being, so earnest, for bringing, like, he presents that to the elders. And then we pray. So just to close it out, it's just like, we trust in the Lord. Amen. And we know at the beginning of the little letter, it says how in 2023, the three of us were standing in the office, and I just said, you know, guys, I feel like the Lord is saying that it's a year of spending, and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the spend. And it's hard. That's a hard word. That is a hard word for us, because it would feel better if he was like, this is the year your storehouses are going to increase, because everyone loves when the storehouses are, like, increasing and overflowing. Right. I would love that. Hello. But it was a year of spending, don't be afraid. And then that's what it was. And I feel as though the Lord is saying that 2024 is a year of growth. Mm-hmm. Now, I pray that that is growth financially, but I know for a fact that it is growth spiritually. Mm-hmm. Man, he is doing something. And if you've been here the past couple weeks, he's going to grow us, all of us. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be challenging. And we're going to do it together, leaning on one another, supporting one another, standing firm in God's word. And we're going to see his promises, and we're going to grow. So,
amen. Well, stand with me, guys. We're going to close out. I'm going to pray and then read a scripture over us. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you, Lord, for this family that you've brought together, Lord. Father, I thank you for the vision that you have, not just for this church, but for this city and for this area, Lord. And Father, I just thank you that we can truly be part of a community and a family that cares for one another, that helps one another, that serves one another, that gives to one another, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you just continue to burden our hearts for that and the importance of this church family, Father God, that where you've placed us, Lord. And so, Father, as we go about our week, Lord, I just want to thank you and give you praise and honor and glory. And just read this scripture over us. It says this out of Ephesians 3. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you guys for your attention. If you do have any questions or comments, concerns, please ask them. You know where to find me. You can email us. You can catch me after church. Catch me wherever. I'm transparent. I'll answer all your questions for the most part. All right, guys. Love you guys.